Welcome to the She Says podcast with your host, Tara Anoma. Join us on a journey of faith, empowerment, and discovery as we explore what it means to be a woman of God in today's world. We're diving into topics that uplift, challenge, and inspire. So grab your coffee, get comfortable, and let's get started.
Well, welcome back to the She Says podcast. I'm Tara.
I'm Noma.
And we are continuing just our quick update on transition and talking about different seasons.
Yes.
And last week we alluded to Noma's exciting transition that she has that we now like the lid's off.
Lid's off. So I think we're safe to release this when we release it.
Yeah. And if it's coming out a little bit later, it's because we had to put a pause, but we're going to record it and it will come out in timely fashion.
Yeah.
But are you ready to share the deets?
Yeah. So I kind of feel like I have to do a little bit of background before we go right into the thing.
Yeah.
So I've been a pastor on staff at our church for going on 4 years now, four and a half years. And I've been the care and hospitality pastor. Mm-hmm. And then last year also took on women's ministry. So was the women's pastor for our church and loved it. And women's ministry has always been my heart and really what I feel drawn to and feel that God has in my life, which is why we started this podcast.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that hasn't changed. No. That hasn't lifted. That hasn't changed. When we talked about it, I think on our second episode of our podcast about Eric, my husband, and I going to the Momentum Conference in California. And when we came back, he said, I just really feel that there's going to be a shift for you come April. And I felt the same thing, but I thought it was something totally different. Yeah. I actually thought I might be like going part-time or taking a step back and focusing purely on She and our She Says.
Yep. And we'd had multiple conversations.
There is more to what Tara and I are going to be doing than just the podcast. We're building a website. We're building a community, and that's not going to stop. It might be paused a little bit just so I can get my brain around this next thing, but that hasn't changed at all. And so when we were feeling this shift, I thought in my mind, like, and in my heart even, that that's what I was going to be doing.
Right, absolutely.
Solely and fully focused.
Yep, totally.
And then we had a women's conference, or women and men's conference. Sean and Krista came. Mm-hmm. It was our Activate night.
Yep.
And it was amazing, powerful. God did amazing things. We talked about it on the podcast.
Yep.
What God did for you, what he did for me, like our girls, everything.
Yeah.
And I left that Activate night, and I went home, and I said to Eric, I said, I just had this sense I'm not going to be over women's ministries anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no reason, no rhyme or reason for it. There, nothing happened. Nothing was said. There was no prophetic word given.
No.
Nothing. I just had this sense in my spirit that I wouldn't be overseeing it anymore. And I was really okay. And
kind of for the first time,
kind
actually.
Kind of for the first time. And
I don't mean that in a jerky way.
No.
Just like,
because it's been so much a part of me. It's so much a part of what I have felt called to do and really my heart was there.
Right.
And I told Eric, I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't even understand why I'm okay with the idea of it. But I'm also one that always, like, praise God, like, I lay this at your feet. This is not mine. Like, I will always put it on the altar.
Absolutely.
Like, all of that. And I do that continually. Like, Lord, I'm lay this on the altar again. I lay this at your feet again. Especially if I feel myself wanting to hold on too tight.
Well, and just to kind of pop in as your friend here, knowing the call of God on your life and the anointing you've had to speak into women's lives, it didn't feel natural for you to be okay with that.
Right.
So just for our listeners who don't know you as well and who maybe don't know this, know the background of everything.
Or my journey getting in.
Or your journey getting in.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a long season to that you labored at church as a staff person, not even as a pastor.
Right.
And even in those seasons, there was a call and there were open doors. Like you did speak to women. Yeah. You mentored different women. There were a lot of people who saw you steward where you were at so well that they wanted that spoken into their lives. And so the Lord really opened doors in that way. And I just feel like that's an important part of your story.
Yeah.
That in each season, you steward well what God gives you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And so, yeah, so I got to this point where I felt that kind of this isn't going to be for me to be over anymore, and really feeling okay with it. And then a month ago now, maybe 4 weeks ago, our senior pastors came to me and said, we need to talk to you. And I said, okay. And I'm like, am I in trouble? Did I do something?
You know? Yeah.
Because you just get that sense. And I never like to be in trouble. Like, that's the worst feeling in the world to me. I don't want to ever be in trouble. And so they asked me to pray into this transition.
Mm-hmm.
And so my husband and I, we prayed and fasted and really sought the Lord, because I was like, Lord, if we say yes to this, I'm laying down everything, mm-hmm. laying down everything.
Yeah.
And I've said, Lord, I tie it to the altar. I hold it open-handed.
Absolutely.
Like, whatever it is. And when you say to the mm-hmm. Lord, I will do whatever you ask me to do,
mm-hmm.
He will take you up on that.
That's right. Yes, He will. Yes,
and,
He will.
And Eric and I really feel strongly that we are revivalists, and that whatever it looks like for revival to happen, we want to be a part of. And whatever, in whatever capacity. And so we asked the Lord, like, Lord, is this what you're asking us to do?
Right.
And I just heard the Lord say, will you pivot with me?
Yeah.
And when the Lord asks you a question, you have two answers.
Yes, yes or no. And I mean, so, I guess you could say, I don't know. I'll try.
You could say, can I think about it?
Yeah.
But ultimately, like, no response is a response, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
So He said, will you trust me and will you pivot with me?
Mm-hmm.
And so we said yes. Mm-hmm. And so the pivot is,
I know,
drum roll, is that we are stepping back into youth ministry.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah.
And so the first thing that we ever did in ministry was youth ministry 23 years ago.
And this won't be the last that you're
doing. It won't be the last. And
I mean, not that it's a stepping stone, but it just
no.
Felt very natural to say that.
Yeah. And I've never thought of youth ministry as a stepping stone. No. I feel like it's all kingdom and mm-hmm. it's all ministry, and it doesn't matter what age you're ministering to. It's kingdom work.
That's right.
And it's important. It's valuable. And so, and the youth are the church.
They're the church. Yeah.
And so we said yes to this amazing adventure, and it's the youth group that you and Kevin.
That's right. Kevin and I
led for so amazingly for 10 years mm-hmm. and or was a part of for 10 years.
Yeah. We were a part of it for a lot longer.
A lot longer.
We led the youth for just shy of 5 years
okay.
as the youth pastors.
Yes.
And then we were junior high pastors for, I think, about a total of 6 years. So total in the youth as pastors for 10 years.
Okay.
And then we actually worked at the church. Sorry, you don't need this whole history, but like.
But I think it plays to even the kind of the beauty of this transition.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because you guys led so wonderfully and mm-hmm. so well, and the youth really flourished.
Yeah.
And then the Lord led you out of it.
That's right.
Last summer.
Yeah.
Right. And I stepped in
mm-hmm.
and helped in the interim.
Yep.
And loved it.
Yep.
And really missed being a part
I
of it.
I feel like this is everybody's, like, they wish they could get in on our coffee date and wonder what we talk about in this transition. I'm just thinking about this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wonder how Noma and Tara, because we are like sisters, right? Everybody's, I'm sure, sitting back going, I wonder how Kevin and Tara are doing.
Yes.
All of that.
Yes.
So, not to make it about us.
But trust me, like, Eric and I were like, I hope Kevin and Tara are going to be okay with this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because it's a lot. It's
of
like,
course. And just in case anybody was, I don't know why I'm looking.
I know. I'm like, I keep looking at the camera.
We're not posting this video.
Yeah.
This video will not see the light of day. Yeah. I just want you guys to all know that, because my hair is in need of a serious washing. And the lighting is terrible.
It's not
in this
the best
room.
Light.
Yeah. Anyway, but we are so on board and so excited and can't really even articulate fully some of the joy that we have received from knowing that you guys are stepping in there. And not that the transitional piece of all of this was for lack, because maybe you'll get to this, but we all know who are your friends that if anybody would have asked you last summer when we were stepping out, if you would have stepped in,
we would have said no.
You would have said no, and you weren't ready.
No, and my husband wasn't ready. No. Like, my husband didn't want to. Mm-mm. And I wasn't going to, like, this is a big thing. And that was the thing, like, if we're going to do this, we're doing it together.
Yeah.
And God, so, like, Eric had radically wrecked by the Lord in September, had this amazing encounter in our living room, and it hasn't stopped.
Yeah.
And it's been amazing. And so even for him to like want to be back in ministry in this capacity is like, so the Lord.
Yeah.
But it's something we get to do together. And that piece is
amazing.
Is amazing. And like, we're figuring it out.
Absolutely.
Because I've been the main kind of person in ministry, and he has supported me the whole time. And in this, I am the main person still, but he's more partnering with me instead of coming from.
We're going to have to spend probably a whole episode on this because I think it will be important for people to understand how to navigate seasons with your spouse.
Yes.
Because I think that that's a challenge that you face in, not only in ministry, but in life in general, when one spouse or one family member is going through a season, how do you support them well? There are some seasons that you do together. There are some seasons where you're more of a support than you are a participant. Yeah. And then there are seasons where you're the participant and your spouse or your family is the support, right? And so that's an important, we'll have to come back. Yeah, so we're going to put a pin on that one.
Put a pin in it because it might take us a few months.
To kind of articulate, because we've spent, we're both in our 40s.
Yes.
And the vast majority of our adult lives have been spent in ministry in one capacity or another.
Whether volunteer or paid staff or or something, it's always kind of been a part of us. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think last summer, I loved being with them. Mm-hmm. I had such a good time and I really missed, it was almost an ache to when the interim person, I'm just going to say it was like an interim time.
Yeah.
They weren't hired as an interim, but it kind of ended up being
kind of a word
that way.
Worked it out.
It was like almost this, I felt really sad that I was not going to be there all the time. And then, you have the youth like, are you going to be still come around?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I wish I could, but the timing wasn't right for me to step into that at that time, nor was it an open door.
No.
And so, but now it's like, I feel like it's so much has happened in such a small amount of time. Mm-hmm. And it does, I'm laying down everything I was doing before.
Yeah.
In order to fully step into this role as a youth pastor. And I'm excited.
That's a very exciting thing. But I think, when we're talking about different seasons, I would be interested to hear you and I talked a little bit about this before we got on camera. I'm not sure if this was the light of day. Before we hit record. And I would be curious for you to kind of share with our listeners a little bit about, the differences of, and you don't have to get overly personal if you don't want to, but there is a time, you and I have talked about this, where your attention is split between multiple things.
Yeah.
And then a season where you're honed in and focused. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious how you are feeling kind of going into that season. How you want to flesh that out. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so my previous role, the one I'm stepping out of, I oversaw a lot of things, a lot of areas, not just women's ministry, but our care, our pastoral care. So pastor on call, pastoral counseling, anything that any of the church members, if they was any kind of need.
Yeah.
I helped with that. Yeah. Any hospitality thing I helped with. I oversaw baptisms. I oversaw funerals and weddings. And I was just over a lot of different areas.
Yeah.
And now that I get to focus solely on one thing, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
This month is a little challenging.
Yeah.
Ask me in about a month and a half when I kind of get my feet solid because I'm passing things off and making sure things are transitioning well, because I don't want to drop anything either.
Sure. Yeah.
And so it is kind of tricky because like my brain and my heart is already like fully engaged in youth.
Yeah.
And so that's where I want my whole focus to go. But I'm like, I got these bows over here. I got to tie up.
Right.
And so that I finish those areas well. And we're so excited to step in this season. We really feel like God, is doing a new thing and breaking up some fallow ground. And we want to redig the wells of revival in our area. And we want to dig new wells.
Yeah.
And we're excited for what God's going to do with our youth. And yeah.
It's an interesting season, perspective. I don't know. Like, I would actually love to, down the road, we can deep dive into this too. But when you have transitions in families and different things like that, it can feel a little messy. It can feel a little, you know, I don't know, prickly, I guess. We haven't had that. I remember calling Kevin after we kind of had chatted and I was like, how do you feel? And he was like, I have so much peace. I'm so thankful. And Kevin and I really felt like, similar to you, I mean, our season, which we talked about last week a little bit, didn't come out of nowhere, but it was a very quick season of change. And we really felt like the Lord just say, let go and let me.
Yeah.
And I feel like this last year has just been a year of let go and let me. And even like you were saying, will you pivot with me? Will you just let go?
Yeah, just pivot.
Just pivot with me. Just take this turn. I mean, I don't think... Well, I know like lots of people have had this reaction with you who, as they have found out, oh my gosh, like I never would have thought.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
and this shock and awe, like what's going on?
And some of that I think stems from the fact that people don't understand the value that a youth pastor brings because I think there's a stigma and I can speak to this very well. You know, after, you know, literally almost my entire adult life serving in youth ministry. There's a stigma that the youth are less than. And especially the youth pastor. Like, he's just the goofy guy who's, you know, breaking things and what do we have to repair now? And he's asking too much or this, that, or the other thing. And there's a real stigma. What I'm excited about you guys stepping into this role is that there is a spiritual maturity that you bring to youth ministry that I think we walked out with, but that we didn't walk in with, but that you're walking in with. And what I think is great about that is it is setting the next generation up for success. And I think that I personally believe that Jesus understood the importance of pouring into and discipling the youth.
Yeah.
If we really look at it, his disciples were not 35-year-old.
No.
Men.
No, they were young.
They were young.
Yeah.
They were, I mean, some of them were married.
Right.
But, supposedly, but they were probably married.
Think of the culture.
14, 15, 16.
Right. The culture in that day, they got married very young.
Yeah.
In their teens.
In their teens. And so we imagine that, and I really like The Chosen, but despite the bearded men we see in The Chosen,
right,
most of Jesus's disciples would have been between probably 15 and 21.
Right.
They were youth. And Jesus took 3 years and poured himself out into these young men and young women who followed him around.
Right.
Because he was imparting into the next generation so that it would last.
Yes. That's the key, right? Because and that's what Eric and I believe, like, we're not even calling ourselves youth pastors.
Yeah.
Because we believe we just believe we're revivalists giving a reference point to a generation.
Yeah.
And that's what we're about.
Like,
we want to bring a reference point of God's presence, his anointing, his power, revival to a generation.
Yep.
And that they can look back and say, that's where I met God, right?
Absolutely.
And it's really a full circle moment for us because when we started in youth ministry, our good friend Chloe, we were her first youth pastor when she was 12 years old. And now we get to be her daughter's youth pastor at 12 years old.
It's amazing.
And it just feels very redemptive. It feels very full circle.
Yeah.
It just feels like God's up to something. And I'm just excited to get to be a part of it.
Well, and I think it's interesting. I mean, without delving into everything that moved you from youth ministry to where you are mm-hmm. now, just because that would take way too long than this podcast. Than anybody wants to listen. Right. We appreciate
you. That sob story.
Yeah, we appreciate you listening. We just want to bore you with all the details. Yeah. What I think is interesting for everyone to understand, and I know for me is, and I said it last week, and I'll probably say it till the cows come home. Literally,
which we're getting, cows this week.
Literally getting cows this week. But that, you know, you say that, you know, it's full circle for you guys, and what that always speaks to me is that God's word doesn't return void.
Right.
You know, I said last time and probably times before that in our podcast that there are words that were spoken mm-hmm. that sometimes we just don't understand how God's going to bring them about. Right. Yeah. And there were words that got spoken over you and Eric in that youth season that did not come to fruition in season.
Right.
And that's likely because they were not for that season. Doesn't always mean that it wasn't for that season.
Right.
It could mean that God had to bring it about in a different way. Mm-hmm. But what is truth is that his word doesn't return void.
Right.
And so what he spoke mm-hmm. is clear. I mean, Kevin and I, like we've talked about, had lots of words about financial stuff and business mm-hmm. stuff that we were like, we have no idea how in ministry we're going to see these words fulfilled. We also have words in ministry that are left unfulfilled.
Right.
Because Kevin and I are revivalist evangelists.
Yep.
You know, we want to see the presence of God. We want to see people encounter his power. We want to see people filled with the truth. You know, so we have these words also mm-hmm. that it's cool to see when your friends walk into full circle, their stories of redemption, so to speak, right? Because you know that gives you faith and testimony for your story of redemption.
Absolutely.
And so in the same way that Rehoboth is our...
Your farm name.
Our farm name, you know, it's so the story of Jacob going and digging the wells, right? So he went around and he redug the wells and everywhere he went, there was opposition. And if you have had time to go and listen to Kevin's work, I keep plugging his podcast.
I know.
PKJ and Yahweh, check it out, because Kevin does a good job of articulating the story. I feel like in the same way that our farm has become a Rehoboth for us, mm-hmm. that youth ministry is going to be a Rehoboth for you. Mm-hmm. And we talked about that even a little bit earlier today, that there are lids that come off in different seasons mm-hmm. because you're ready for different assignments.
Yes.
And, you know, what I think our listeners will be most blessed by is knowing that their stories aren't finished.
Right.
Right.
And I say that all the time. Like if you're still breathing, your assignment is still breathing.
Yeah.
Right. If you're still breathing, there's still work for you to be done And there's time for God to mm-hmm. fulfill his word.
Yeah.
And I think we forget that because we get so locked up into our time.
Yeah.
That if it doesn't happen as soon as we think it does, then God failed somehow.
Yeah.
And that's not the case at all. He always will perform his word.
That's right.
And we just have to align ourselves with his timing.
That's right.
Because he holds the timing of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't.
Yep.
And so we have to trust him with the timing.
That's right. Well, and it's so powerful because I think sometimes, you know, hopefully people are listening to this and they've got their own stories of faithfulness mm-hmm. that God has done for them to cling to. But we don't always have the, like for years, I didn't have a story of faithfulness to cling to. I mean, not that God wasn't faithful.
Right.
But just there wasn't this like, I was still waiting.
Right. You didn't have like in your face evidence.
Yeah. In your face evidence. And we should
tangible evidence, I should say.
And we should have that ability to trust and have faith. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes and some ways the way that the Lord does that is through other people's stories. And so, you know, I hope that as you guys have listened to our stories of transition, mm-hmm. our stories of seasons, that you can look at the season you're in and appreciate what God's doing.
Yeah.
And look forward to the next season.
Right.
With hope.
And I think, too, like, God always, he never just springs it.
No.
Right?
Well, I mean, a little bit.
In his kindness, but there's usually...
There's some indicators.
You can kind of... That's why it's so important to be able to read the signs of the season.
That's
so,
right.
You see, like Jesus talks about it, yeah. right? About seeing the evidence of spring coming. You see mm-hmm. the evidence of winter, right? There's all these things. You can see the changing of the seasons. You can guide that. And like for me, like us feeling like there's going to be a shift and then me having that just sense of not being over women's ministries anymore for nothing.
Yeah.
No, out of the blue.
Right.
You know, that was God preparing me mm-hmm. to pivot.
Yeah.
And so we got to recognize those signs when mm-hmm. things come up that wouldn't normally be you. Mm-hmm. Pay attention to that because mm-hmm. it very well could be the sign of a season shift.
Absolutely.
And it's not that God's pulling the rug out from underneath you and springing on you. He's so good in his kindness to kind of give you a little bit of,
right.
of signs.
That's right.
We see it all around us. Mm-hmm. It's in nature and we see it. Mm-hmm. And so to learn to recognize the different things in your life and really take them to the Lord, like, is this you moving? Is this something that you're doing? Is something shifting? Is something coming, right? Because we, a lot of times, will feel it mm-hmm. and not even be able to put words to it.
Right.
And I want to say, too, as we're tying things up with a bow, like, when you hear stories like Tara's and like mine of full circle things mm-hmm. or God or season shifting and transition, you know, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That's right.
And so you can take that and like, Lord, you were faithful to them. Yes. I know you're going to be faithful to me.
Amen.
And take that as prophecy over your life, that even if transitions are hard, seasons are sticky sometimes, even yeah. if it seems like, oh, I don't know where this is going to land.
Yeah.
You can take as prophecy God's faithfulness in our lives.
That's right.
You can take it to your own life. Like, that's God, right. you've been faithful. You were faithful to them. He doesn't change. He is the unchanging one. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right.
There's a song that says, you were, you are, you always will be.
Yep.
And to remember that he was faithful then, he's faithful now, and he will be faithful tomorrow.
That's awesome. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you for joining us on the She Says podcast. We hope you felt inspired and encouraged by today's conversation. Remember, you are valued, loved, and have a vital role in God's kingdom. Stay tuned for more episodes and don't forget to like and share this podcast. Until next time, God bless.